Hear the good news of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has told a parable about a master who leaves his estate, then suddenly and unexpectedly returns. Now he tells another parable about the unexpected coming of the kingdom of God. The reading of the Holy Gospel. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of Christ. I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. We're now going to enter in the final series of sermons that I have written, and we're looking at how to build a sustainable community. And the foundation of building a sustainable community is to have empathy. And we think about today, we think about those who died in service for our country and were connected to us. And we've also thought about the readings, especially the gospel reading, calling us always to be prepared. And part of our preparation has to be a looking at empathy. Empathy is the confident art of stepping imaginatively with personal awareness into the shoes of another person, understanding their feelings and perspectives, using this understanding to guide actions. Now, empathy is also applied to whole communities and not just individuals. Empathy is a quality of every sustainable community, as well as the individuals. We tend, due to our early childhood experiences, to be very self-judgmental and to blind ourselves and our own abilities and gifts. And that was part of the message which we sung in the gradual hymn, that we often judge ourselves and we just think we're worthless. But God has created virtually all of us through evolution with the capacity to empathize. It is one of the great hidden talents we have. And this is all over the planet, not just here in the Western culture, but everywhere. It's a God-given trait that every human being has, and a number of other animals as well. The exception to the rule is psychopaths, who have zero ability to have empathy. In addition, we have some emotionally impaired people. But putting both groups together, psychopaths and emotionally impaired people, we only get about 2% of the population who who have a difficult time in expressing or understanding in an empathetic way. Though it's very difficult, but some elements of empathy can be taught and practiced even to these groups of people. I had that experience when I worked as a chaplain in prison. Empathy will be explored in this series from a Christian viewpoint of expanding our God-given empathetic potential through the exploration of new personal and community habits. This new century we're in, the 21st century, a lot of research has gone on in the whole area of empathy. There's been a reawakening of it. And there's also a lot of theological reflection going on, pointing us towards a new understanding of empathy within the church. One of the leaders in this area is a person by the name of Roman Krusnarek. And he's done groundbreaking work in exploring this whole area of empathy, both in individual and community. And he's identified six basic habits. And you can find them for yourselves in a book. It's called Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It. It was published in 2014. There's a footnote on the screen. The six basic habits of highly empathetic people. Habit one, switch on your empathetic brain. Habit two, make the imaginative leap. Three, seek experiential adventures. Four, practice the craft of conversation. Five, travel in your armchair. That's the way to go these days. And habit six, inspire a revolution. These six habits together will help us sharpen our skills and help to build a better, sustainable community as a church into the future, and also for us as individuals, because we're coming through a time of trial. We thought the last year was tough with COVID-19. I think coming ahead of us is all the economics and, in addition to that, climate change. And we're going to have to be very empathetic to hold communication with ourselves, our families, and our neighbors. So we're going to now start by exploring habit one today. Switch on your empathetic brain. Empathy is often viewed from a point of introspection. Christian empathy calls us to understand outrospection. It's a made-up word, really. I don't think we use that word very often. It's a call to move away from self-absorbed individualism of the 20th century to a looking out at the wider society. The introspection that we've had in the last century within the Christian church was this whole idea of my personal relationship with Jesus, my personal faith. I am being saved. What are my signs of grace? All these really focused us away into ourselves, into being very individualistic, and moved us away from seeing the greater picture of the whole community. It really plays well for capitalism, because as you're looking at yourself and worrying about, you know, looking after your investments and so on, and you stand aside from seeing the bigger picture of that. So it's an anti-Christian move, but it gets cloaked into Christianity. So it's used to manipulate and suppress empathy and self-caring, and evolves into a cynicism and also a tribalism, where we start to be afraid of those who are different than us, such as Christians being afraid of Muslims, or people looking down at Jews, or whatever the othering is. The way to break that down is to start to evolve into a people that are much more empathetic, and using our God-given communal empathy. But when that's broken down, and we start to become too individualistic, we can actually accidentally support racism. It's all about us and not about anybody else. Industrial, political, and theological self-interest intentionally or unintentionally uses this introspection for the suppression of empathy in order to have control. If you start to worry about your neighbors, it's very hard to, say, as a personnel officer, fire people. So there's this conflict between our God-given ability and the needs of the corporate world. And it's to find a way through that as Christian people. And part of the way of doing it is to start to learn and practice introspection. And it's the call from Jesus to the church in our own century. Treat others as you would have them treat you. This is the whole meaning of the law and the prophets, said Jesus in Matthew 7, 21, verse 12. It's our Lord's call for us to be empathetic. Maslow's theory of needs, as well as the personal God theology that I just spoke about, are used together to gain wealth and capital, and all clued to suppress empathy and gain control over individuals' spontaneous response to others. Well, you say, how do we know that? Well, there's been for years knowledge of this. Any one of you have ever had to do any child psychology work, you may have participated in replicating some of the Piaget experiments. There's the mountain experiments are the most notable ones. And he demonstrated, and others have demonstrated, an innate ability of humans to be empathetic and cooperate with each other. I know when I was an undergraduate doing this experiment, I was really surprised to see the amount of sharing that children spontaneously would do when this experiment was done. It's quite powerful. There are two major types of empathy that have been identified. One is cognitive empathy. It's a perspective taking. You have your heart is for the person, but you also keep your own identity. So you stand a little bit back so you don't lose who you are, but you have a full understanding in your body. And then there's affective empathy, which is a mirroring. So you see it in yourself. And that's the one that is the most difficult to identify. I know that when I was in seminary learning this, it was the toughest one because there's a very thin line between that and sympathy. But you have to maintain effective empathy. Compassion is often confused with empathy, but it's quite different. Empathy is a fully involved with the totality of the other person. So you share both the joys and the suffering. It's very easy to be compassionate, which is just to suffer. But to be empathetic is when they're happy, you're happy with them. There's no sense of, well, they're happy, I wish it was me, kind of thing. You really get involved with their happiness, as well as being there for them in the time of their sorrow. And that's empathetic. This is Remembrance Sunday. And I know I've had to, on more than one occasion, bring news to a dependent about someone's death who's in the armed forces, or to bring the news that they're okay after they've been afraid, and to be present empathetically in those times of need, but also to celebrate when you've got the good news. Empathy starts at birth with good attachment to mother and her father. It's taught by modeling of the parents and the greater nuclear family. In fact, the current cutting edge of psychological work today is all about attachment. And they are identifying that the root of a lot of our social ills today are through disordered attachment at an early time. But that doesn't mean that if you had a difficult family of origin, that all is lost. Cognitive and affective empathy can be learned later in life. And that's one of the works that are ongoing today. Most people going into therapy as adults are going in to learn some form of attachment and reattaching themselves to themselves and having trust so they can trust others as well as trusting themselves. Jesus taught his disciples to be like children and have empathy, for such is the kingdom of God. There is this sense of taking the risk of being totally alive. And this is the primary thing to get us going in these learning and applying the six habits of empathetic people. Awareness leads to change. If you start to be aware that, you know, I'm not been connecting, I don't allow myself to connect, or I don't trust, you can start to challenge yourself and say, I maybe need to do some work. It's a reflective process, and this reflective process learning assists in the identification and expression of emotions. I haven't found it here, but in Alberta, I used to be a facilitator and support person for EA, Emotions Anonymous, which really works at helping adults learn to have a healthy empathy. And it's a 12-step program, somewhat like it's patterned after the 12-step programs for narcotics and alcohol, but it's really focused in on emotions. And I often think it would be a good group to start. Intentional practice leads to a spontaneous release of latent emotional empathetic responses in adults. If you start to say, I'm going to be willing to take a risk and allow myself to feel and allow myself to see the feelings of another person, that empathy that was given to you as a gift from your creation by God will start to arise. It takes desire and a will to acquire this empathetic habit. It doesn't happen without some work, but it does happen. And I believe it's a gift from God through our time of creation. And the holy energy of God gives us all the ability to rediscover it within ourselves and to really start to have new behaviors and new understandings in our relationship with others and ourselves. And so on this Sunday, as we remember, I pray that we remember empathetically and that we're empathetic with ourselves, caring for ourselves, but also reaching out and caring in safe and constructive ways for others around us. May God bless us all as we journey this day. Amen.